Over these next four meetings, I would like to deal with the subject of the Holy Spirit under these headings. This morning, the person and deity of the Holy Spirit. This evening, the work or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The next Lord's Day morning, to look at some examples of the leading of the Spirit, and then lastly, recognising the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've not taken up the subject of the Holy Spirit because I am an authority on this particular subject. I have taken it up because it is a subject that has occupied my mind and my heart for quite some considerable time. I've taken it up because I have a desire to know the Holy Spirit more intimately and to be led by Him and follow Him more closely. I've also taken it up because I believe it's important that we as believers should look at the things which we believe on a regular basis, perhaps every 5 years. It's amazing how often we overlook facets that we once recognised. So this morning, I want to deal with the subject of the person and the deity of the Holy Spirit. In introducing this subject, I would like to tell you a story. It illustrates a couple of the points that I make. I have a friend, his name is Jim Payne, he's an Anglican minister. He told us one time of an experience that he had as a young man and at his first appointment to a church. It was in western New South Wales in a country town. He went there, and as he conducted the services, particularly on the Sunday evening, there was an old chappie who used to come in and sit down in the second front seat of those services. Jim suspected that sometimes he was a little inebriated, but he came regularly. He said to Jim one day, "What I would like to do one Sunday evening is to pronounce the benediction." Now, for Jim, that created quite a problem. He thought about it. But the fellow was so persistent in asking if he could pronounce the benediction that Jim decided, whether he was right or wrong, he decided that he would let this fellow pronounce the benediction this particular Sunday night. He got up, he pronounced the benediction, and in drawing to a close, he said, "In the name of the Father and of the Son," and paused. And then exclaimed, "I've forgotten the name of the other fellow." Jim went on to say that there are many Christians who are like that. They have forgotten the person of the Holy Spirit. That fellow, he also had two other things correct, even though he didn't express them with the dignity that was due to the person of the Holy Spirit. He recognised that he was a person, and in associating him with the Father and the Son, he recognised that he was deity. In considering this subject of the Holy Spirit, how do you consider him? Have you overlooked the Holy Spirit in your Christian life and existence? Do you walk closely with him? Are you led by him? There is much confused thinking about the Holy Spirit today. Many people have forgotten about him. If you look around in Christendom today, you will find that there are other people who have overemphasized aspects of the Holy Spirit. And this has created confusion and indeed created error. There are other believers who, seeing that, withdraw from those circumstances, and sometimes we as human beings go to extremes. There are some Christians, because of the teaching of others and the practice of others, withdraw and inadvertently undervalue the work of the Holy Spirit or the person of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to know anything of him, if we're going to experience his power in our lives, we need to have some understanding of him. I'd like you to look just now at three verses with me regarding the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. It's a chapter that's well known to you, but it's an important passage in relation to our consideration of the Holy Spirit, and we will refer to it again as we go through these four sessions. Verse 16, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And also verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. They were the words of the Lord Jesus. We mentioned that there is some confusion in regarding the person of the Holy Spirit. There are those who would think that the Holy Spirit is some sort of influence. Some sort of influence that impacts on the life of a Christian. There are others who will even recognise that the Holy Spirit is a person, and perhaps even a divine person, who will dispense to believers power to serve God as they desire or they think and according to their own plans. That is not the teaching of Scripture. Indeed, such a thinking as that is very dangerous, and you would find probably that that person has an undue, elevated opinion of their own position and their own power. It leads to self-exaltation and often with disastrous results. This morning, what is your view of the Holy Spirit? There are other confusions regarding this person, but this morning I want to affirm from the Scriptures two facts. The Holy Spirit is a person, and that he is God, the third person of the Trinity. When we look at the person or the personality of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures distinctively, there are distinct characteristics that the Scriptures ascribe to the person of the Holy Spirit. There are some basic characteristics of personality, and they are knowledge, feelings, or emotion, and will. Think of your own personality, for example. You have knowledge, you have feelings and emotion, and you have will. I'll refer to a number of scriptures this morning. In the first one, we look at the fact that the Holy Spirit has knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and three verses there says this. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 to 11. What no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Verse 11. For what person knows a man's thought except the spirit of the man which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Here we have in these verses the characteristic of knowledge ascribed to the Holy Spirit. Likewise in Romans 8 and 27, we read these words, "And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." In this verse, We have mind, the fact of a mind being ascribed to the Holy Spirit. The Greek word, which here is translated mind, is an interesting word. It's a comprehensive word which includes the ideas of thought, feeling, and purpose. This word, mind. In fact, the same word that is used in this verse, in verse 27, is also used in verse 7 of Romans 8. Except there it's used of man. It says this: "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." In that verse, you'll see that those feelings, knowledge, feeling, emotion, and will are encompassed in those words in verse 7. And that is the same word that is used of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has knowledge, he has feelings, and he has will. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. The Scripture also ascribes feeling or emotion to him. Romans 15:30 is an interesting verse, and it says this: "I appeal to you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." Now, I want to ask you, have you ever considered that verse? If I were to ask you what you thought the love of the Spirit was, what would you tell me? If I was asked to ask you about the love of God, you would be able to tell me many things, wouldn't you? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You would be able to tell me that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You would be able to talk to me about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin in his body on the tree. But if I were to ask you about the love of the Spirit, what would you say? I thought about this, and for me, the love of the Spirit is demonstrated in this way. He followed me day after day, week after week, year after year, though I consistently turned a deaf ear to his voice. He pursued me along paths of sin where it must have been agony for that Holy One to go. He pursued me until I listened to his voice. He opened my eyes to my sinfulness and my doom. He showed me that the Lord Jesus was the only Saviour and that he could meet my need. And he enabled me to receive him as my own personal Saviour. If it had not been for his patient, long-suffering, never-tiring, tender love, I would be heading for a lost eternity. There are other feelings attributed to the Holy Spirit in Scripture. For example, grief. In Ephesians 4:30, we have this instruction: "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Here the Scripture tells us that it's possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. He dwells within our hearts. He is fully aware of every thought that comes into our mind, every act we do and every word we speak. And he is grieved by every impure, unholy, unkind, selfish thought and deed expressed or that comes across our mind. The Holy Spirit has feeling. he can be grieved. We also spoke about the Holy Spirit having a will. The Holy Spirit acts according to his will, his divine will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says this: all these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, and he's talking about gifts. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit apportions spiritual gifts as he wills. It's of fundamental importance that we understand that the Holy Spirit is just not a power that we get to use as we will, but that he is a person of sovereign glory and majesty, to whom we yield to be used according to his will. We'll touch on that aspect some other time during these four meetings. But beyond this, there are many acts recorded in the Scripture of the Holy Spirit which can only be performed by a person. For example, Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 says this: he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There, the Spirit is speaking to the churches. In Galatians 4 and 6, we have these words: because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Here the Holy Spirit cries out in the heart of the individual believer, crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 8, 26. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Here the Spirit prays in us and through us. In John 14, 26, the last verse that we read in our initial reading this morning, he, the Spirit, will teach you all things. In Acts 16, verses 6 and 7, we read these words: and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Here we find that the Holy Spirit is shown to be a person with authority. Here he commands and directs men in their work for the Lord Jesus. In Acts 13 and 2 we read, and while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. All these are attributes of personality. The Holy Spirit is shown to have supreme authority in calling men to service and appointing them to their task. Acts 20 and 28, we read these words: take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he purchased with the blood of his own Son. Here the Holy Spirit is shown to have appointed these people to their responsibility, to these overseers. Now, in these verses that we have just considered, we have seen this and seen clearly that the Holy Spirit is a person. What kind of person is he? Is he a finite person like you and I? Is he a person a little superior? I want to say to you this morning that on the authority of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Scriptures declare his deity. there are four distinct divine characteristics which are applied to the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9 and 14 says words like this: how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's an interesting expression, isn't it? The eternal Spirit. Here, in this verse, we have eternity ascribed to the Holy Spirit. He is eternal. And the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was accomplished through the eternal Spirit. There is something else that we have ascribed to the Holy Spirit, and that's in omnipresent. Now, that's a big word, but what does it mean? It means this: that God is present everywhere. There is nowhere where God is not. Now, if the Holy Spirit is God, he is also omnipresent. Psalm 139, the psalmist says in verses 7 to 10, whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. The psalmist, as he penned this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is declaring that he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is also omniscient. That is, he knows everything, the same as God. God knows everything. God is omniscient. And here, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, we read these words: God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what person knows a man's thoughts except the spirit of the man which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit knows and searches everything, even the depths of God. And so we have eternity, we have omnipresence, and we have omniscience attributed to the person of the Holy Spirit. There is one other word in this group of three which starts with the word omni, or which starts with omni, and that's omnipotence. And that simply means that God is all powerful. God is all powerful. Now, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, we have an act of the Holy Spirit which is all powerful. It says this: and the angel said to her, and this was the angel speaking to Mary, the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And in that scripture we have an act of omnipotence ascribed to the Holy Spirit. So that we have seen that the Holy Spirit is a person. He has all the characteristics of personality. Not only is he a person, but that he is God and he has the attributes of deity. The scriptures clearly teach that the Holy Spirit is a person and that he is God. The final and decisive proof of the deity of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is in Acts 5 verses 3 and 4. For the scripture clearly declares that. Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Remember what he said? Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Peter has asked Ananias, why has he lied to the Holy Spirit? And in the conclusion of that verse says, you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. The Holy Spirit is deity. One of the things that has really thrilled my heart as I have considered this is the fact that while the Trinity, while the Godhead is made up of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they cannot be regarded as three loose cannons doing their own thing. They cannot be regarded as three persons who have come together and agreed to do the same thing. It goes deeper than that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are persons in their own right, and yet they are intimately in unity. They are unified in character. They are unified in being. And I cannot fathom all that. But there are many instances in Scripture where they work together to the same purpose, and some of those are very interesting. One of them was a passage that we have read in Luke chapter 1 verse 35. The angel spoke to Mary, and here we see the Holy Spirit coming upon her so that the Lord Jesus could be conceived. They work together in absolute unity. Now, in Hebrews 9:14, and we read that scripture, here the Lord Jesus led a holy and spotless life, and he offered himself without spot to God through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry was supported by the person of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed and fitted for service by the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Lord Jesus was led in his movements on earth by the Holy Spirit. We read in Luke 4:1, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abode upon the Lord Jesus in all his fullness. And the word he spoke in consequence were the very words of God. John 3:34 says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure. It's interesting to note that in Acts 1 and 2, after the resurrection, Jesus gave commandments unto the apostles through the Holy Spirit. We read Acts 1:2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The Lord Jesus, as he performed his miracles here on earth, completed that work in relation to the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:28 says, I cast out devils by the power of the Spirit of God. In Romans 8 and 11, we read, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Here, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. This same Holy Spirit, this person, who is indeed God, the glorious fact is that if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your Saviour, lives within you. What was our first reading? The Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father that He will send the Holy Spirit and He will be with you and in you forever. My beloved believer, do you know intimately this person of the Holy Spirit? He dwells within your very being. He seeks to lead you. He seeks to empower you. He seeks to bless you as you serve your God. Oh, that we might know Him more intimately, that we might follow Him more closely.